for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest is the number one New York Times bestselling author, board-certified emergency medicine physician, and host of the Emmy Award-winning talk show, The Doctors, now in its eighth season. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Travis Stork.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, always a pleasure having you with us. Now, The Doctors isn't just entertainment. A lot of the information that you share is actually life-saving. I want to share a story about a patient, 55-year-old man, deathly afraid of having a colonoscopy until he saw the episode of you having one without anesthesia. So he had the procedure. They found early-stage treatable colon cancer. Doc, this segment may have saved this man's life. Stories like that must be so rewarding.
Oh, what a great story. First of all, as I said on our show, I don't recommend a colonoscopy without having anesthesia. It was the most painful thing I've ever experienced. But having said that, colonoscopies do save lives. And one of the things I said on the show is that both of my grandparents had colon cancer, and without screening, it's difficult to cure at an early stage. And so I love that part of our show. We really do try to make it, I guess, less frightening for people. And when we can play the role of patient and say, look, this is something that we all have to do. Don't be afraid of it. Be afraid of not getting the right diagnosis. We love doing that. And I think it makes going to the doctor less scary.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think it educates people in that their minds play tricks on them of how bad things are, and then they see you show it. It's not a big deal. You know, just go for it. Like you said, the end result's worse if you don't, so that's great. Let me ask you, you're the host of The Doctors. You're also an emergency room physician. I'm just curious, has there ever been a patient look up at you in the ER and think they've been punked? That's got to be surreal.
I would acknowledge that there are a lot of surprised faces at times because people seem to disconnect TV with the real world. So certainly when someone sees me, it's a bit of an eye-opener at times. But what I always say is it's great because in the ER, it's a very frightening place.
Right.
Unsettling. And to see a familiar face, even if you just know that face from TV, can help calm people. And hopefully being that calming presence is something that I can bring to the table for folks.
Right. You know, I love the home remedies you guys share on the show. I mean, you've covered bee sting therapy to combat fibromyalgia, black licorice for cold sores, even cayenne peppers to cure a toothache. I'm curious, what's the most seemingly crazy but effective remedy that you've covered?
Well, I'll Anyone go from the simple, which is I started using lemon balm plant to repel mosquitoes.
Interesting.
Which actually works? For me, it's worked well, and I love the scent of it. So something simple like that versus, two things that I would say before they were quote-unquote hip that we started talking about on the show was using turmeric as an anti-inflammatory, for instance, which now I put turmeric in my eggs, I put it in my smoothies. And then the other big one is, because we've been on the air for almost a decade now,
right?
Almost 10 years ago, no one talked about things like active cultures, probiotics, yogurt, fermented foods.
Right.
And so that was considered back then a bit of a home remedy for GI ailments and GI health. And I'd like to think that in some way our show helped shepherd that into the quote-unquote mainstream.
That's great. Like you said, now it's the norm. People, you can think back and go, wow, we mentioned that. And people go, what's that? What's turmeric? And now it's like everywhere. So that's great. I do notice that you cover a lot of preventative medicine topics, which I love. But why don't more MDs adopt some of what your show represents in their practices instead of focusing on symptoms?
It's the million-dollar question. And I do think that doctors are doing the best they can. But quite frankly, we are in a sick care system, not a health care system. There are a lot of problems with our healthcare/sick care system that really don't allow many doctors to practice the way they want to. And I hope that starts to change. I do think it is beginning to change, but it's been such a slow adoption process that it's frustrating for me. And one of the things that I try to say on The Doctors is, look, if you can prevent your own visit to, say, see me in the ER or end up with a stay in the hospital by doing something today to prevent that future illness, do it. And, you know, we really are, I use the term CEO of our own health. Prevention needs to be talked about more, and I just hope and pray that our system evolves so that prevention is as big a part as treatment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with your show, so many people are seeing that in a different area where it's not just cover the symptom up. I like what you guys represent. That's why I'm such a fan of the show. I remember hearing you once on the show say you're not a fan of health fads, and, you know, there's gluten-free out there and strict vegan diets, and you mentioned, I believe, that people, they can still be unbalanced and unhealthy. So it's a good point. What would your advice be for that?
Well, certainly if you're dealing with a particular medical condition, for instance, if you have a gluten sensitivity, then absolutely gluten-free is the way to go. But what you're seeing are people are grasping on to, you know, one person it's all about paleo, and then another person it's all about eating vegan, which, again, if you have your reasons for doing that, great. For me personally, I'm all about balance, and what I tend to do is I tend to take, as these new fads come and go, I'll use some of the elements of them, but balance it out with the thing that I've always stood firm on, which is what I call a flexitarian diet. And that is, for the most part, you know, I eat foods that are raised from the ground up. I'll eat some fish, some chicken, even some red meat occasionally. And it's, for me, there are just certain foods that are always going to be in my diet, no matter what fads come and go. Because fads, they're called a fad for a reason. They don't stick right around for long.
Exactly. I've never heard the term flexitarian. I love that. Did you coin that phrase?
No, it's something that when I started, interestingly, in medical schools, I started to change how I ate. You know, it's a term to describe someone who's primarily vegetarian but still incorporates meat into their diets, just not in great quantities like a lot of the typical American diets. And, right, you know, it's funny, when I host the doctors, and certainly when I wrote the book, The Doctor's Diet, one of the things I always try to hit home for folks is, you know, find some foods that you know are healthy, that are good for you, that you love, and always have those either in your house, in your purse, in your messenger bag, in your briefcase, because that's, for me, more than any fad or any quote-unquote diet, always having food around me that I know I like that's also healthy, that has been my saving grace. And, you know, that could be making sure I always have avocados in the fridge, nuts on hand. It really helps me avoid what I would call a lazy food decision.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the minute we have left, I'm curious, you know, I hear all the things you do. Your plate is so overflowing. You host the doctors. You see patients. You write books. You're still making time for me on this radio interview, and I appreciate it. But I'm curious, what's your secret to keeping a balanced life? Do you meditate, take nature walks, massages? What's your secret, Doc?
You know what? It's commitment to it, and commuting by bike, because that sets the tone for my day. And I'm not perfect every day, but I've been commuting by bike since I was 22 years old. I'm 43 now, so that should really set the tone for me. And you know, I kind of credit that for getting me in the right mindset every day when I start the day.
So you commute to where you're actually going. It's not just something you do at the end of the day. You actually go to point A to point B by bike.
Yep, whether it's the studio or the hospital, and it's just one of those things where it's also forced me to, I plan where I'm going to live so I have a decent bike commute. And obviously, I can't commute by bike between Nashville and Los Angeles, so it doesn't always work, but
that's great. Well, great
it's a commitment.
That's great. Thanks so much for being on the show. As always, you're a welcome guest to come back. You really share a lot of great information. And for more information, you can visit thedoctorstv.com. And, of course, you can follow Dr. Stork on Twitter at TravisStorkMD. For our daily health tweets, you can follow me at Dr. David Friedman. Podcasts of this show are available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Share them with friends, family. Post them on social media. This information is too good not to share. Until next time, this is Dr. David Friedman, To Your Good Health Radio. Stay well.